Magic, Love and a Battle Between Good and Evil, starring Saeed Jaffrey and Nina Wadia. The Ramayana, which you can hear lunchtimes at 1:45, Monday to Friday.
Seven Drama on BBC Seven.
And it's time to get stuck into some fantastic drama right now. I can remember being absolutely glued to the 1959 film version of this one every time they turned it out on the box, starring James Mason, if I remember rightly. It's a classic Victorian adventure story in which an eccentric professor stumbles across a long-forgotten passageway that leads him and his companions not just to the very core of planet Earth, but also into the terrifying world of their inner beings. Over the next hour and a half, expect some strong language and some scenes of a sexual nature in a Jules Verne classic.
We present Jules Verne's classic adventure story, Journey to the Centre of the Earth, recreated for radio by Steve Walker, with Nicholas Leprevost as Professor Lidenbrock and Nathaniel Parker as Axel Lidenbrock. Journey to the Centre of the Earth.
Already seen in my previous lecture that physical energies have frequently acted with great intensity upon all classes of rocks.
Wake up, you dum-dums! I, Lidenbrock, am teaching you the true nature of the earth upon which you will waste your stupid lives.
And we may next.
My uncle, Professor Lidenbrock, was a professor at the Johannium in Hamburg. He gave courses in mineralogy and was more often than not in a bad temper. This was because he was a great man, but no one thought this except himself. He was extremely modern in his views, argued with everyone brave enough to answer him back, and was always fighting duels. 5 days before the Christmas of 1863, I was sitting in the parlour of the professor's little house, number 19, Koningstrasse, in the old quarter of Hamburg, canoodling with the professor's ward, Grauben, 17, smelling of roses. It was breakfast time when in came Martha, my uncle's housekeeper, and my friend, Heinrich.
It's terrible, terrible! He will be killed this time, I know it!
Heinrich! It is your uncle! He is in the botanical gardens, fighting 3 duels. The first was commencing when I was leaving him.
Axel, stop him. You must. He'll be killed.
Me? But he never listens to me.
Oh, come on, you fat fool.
But my breakfast.
Heinrich, I've had the most dreadful row about Darwinism.
It's all in the wrist, you know. It's quite scientific.
Gentlemen, would you mind if I refresh myself with a sausage before fighting you?
Very well.
Be quick about it.
Oh, please, Lidenbrock. You've killed von Stumpf. Isn't that enough for one morning?
Enough, headmaster. They said that the world was created at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the year 4004 B.C.,
there would be less nonsense in the world without him.
But you've killed or wounded half the faculty. I'm teaching all their classes. I'm worn out.
There he is. There they are.
Uncle Lidenbrock, please,
Axel, my boy, you are just in time. Am I correct in thinking that you have chosen pistols, sacks of...
Please don't
think these,
Professor!
But you mustn't! No, you can't! What if he kills you? Your research all wasted. Your book on the classification of trilobites unfinished.
I fight in the cause of truth.
But there is something I must say. I shall say it now, before it's too late. Graupen and I, I love her. We love each other. We want to get...
What? You, my first ever student, you and Graupen?
Never! I won't allow it!
I am waiting, Professor!
Can't you see I am insulting my nephew? I'll deal with you in a minute!
Axel, my boy. Graupen is a mere child. She has hardly left the house. When she does, she will meet real men. And then what will she think of you, eh? Hmm? It pains me to say it, Axel, but you are a fat dummkopf. If Graben doesn't see it now, she soon will. Am I right? Or am I right?
Yes, Uncle, I'm sure you're right.
Good boy. Here, finish my sausage. Stand over there.
Sacrisum! Pistols, ladies!
You will each walk 20 paces, turn, and when I'm dropping my handkerchief, go bang, bang. Alice Clark.
God created the world, Lidenbrock, at 4 p.m. in 4004 B.C.
You fool!
One, two,
I
three,
ate my uncle's sausage.
Four,
over the trees, it was feeding time in the zoological gardens. In the business center of Hamburg, successful businessmen were beginning a new day at their desks. The fatherland was shaking off its dreams. In our little house in Königstrasse, Grauben was stripped to the waist, washing herself while her little heart pitter-pattered with anxiety. Would she ever see her beloved, bad-tempered uncle again? 14, Meanwhile, 15, Professor Lindbrock did not know 15, that those 20 paces for his duel were the first of many 15, paces in his journey to the center 19, of the earth.
20! Good shot!
Two down and one to go. Come on, von Klipstein, you're next. Let's waste no time about it, Ben.
Actually, Professor, I have been thinking about what you said about evolution, and I think there may be some truth in it, you know.
Oh, good, good. Oh, you must come to dinner, huh? We'll discuss it.
Count Saknussemm is dying, Lidenbrock. He wishes a final word.
Oh, very well, but make it quick. I have work to do.
Lidenbrock, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Say your piece.
I curse you. The stones and snow of my homeland, Iceland, curse you. My ancestor, the great scientist, Arne Saknussemm, he curses you.
Excellent, my boy, let's go. And leave this fool to choke on his curse.
You will be receiving a package. Then you will know.
Oh, please, Count Saknussemm, you must be still.
Then you will feel my curse, Lidenbrock. Lidenbrock! God created the world, didn't he, at last?
Of course he did. Of course. Help me carry the count to my carriage.
It was Christmas Eve when the package arrived. I was helping my darling Graben decorate the tree.
Gott in Himmel! Oh, Spinehund! That Saknussemm, he knew nothing! Nothing! Now he curses me in the name of his infantile Christian god!
Oh, another present, Uncle! For me? Let me put it under the tree.
No, it is not for you. And if I see you holding hands with Axel once more, I will shoot you both!
Parcel is from that nice Count Saknussemm who your uncle recently killed.
Oh, poor Uncle Lidenbrock. He'll be so upset. A Christmas present from a dead person. Axel, go and comfort him.
No fear. He'll shout at me again. I'm developing a tic.
If you go and comfort him, I will allow you to kiss me above the elbows.
Unneath, then I shall be brave enough to go into the dragon's cave.
Oh, no, Uncle!
Unneath, please, Robin. I'm going into the knees.
It took us an hour to put the tree back together. Uncle Lidenbrock stayed locked in his study with Count Saknussemm's package, but I would not disturb him without a promise from Graben that I could kiss her knees. She went away, tossing her curls in a beautiful huff. But at her bedtime, she came to my room, and I was there. I was cataloguing trilobites in my underwear. She lifted her dressing gown to the knees.
You may kiss each knee once, and only once.
Each knee. I'm gonna kiss one of you on me. Oh, pretty knees. Oh, I love your knees.
I said one kiss each. A big kick for a bad boy.
Ow!
Uncle Littlebrook?
Yes,
sir? Uncle Otto?
Oi! Ah, excellent, my boy. Sackness's Christmas present to his murderer. A curse, indeed. I can't make sense of it.
A book, is it?
Yeah. It's James Kringle of Snorri Sturluson. Famous 12th century Icelandic writer.
A good translation, is it?
Translation, Dumkopf. It is written in his own hand in Icelandic. It's a magnificent language. Both rich and simple. But this here, this is what is most fascinating. I found it inside. A little piece of parchment with strange writing on it.
Oh, Hebrew, is it?
Hebrew.
Well, what is it, then?
I don't know. The characters of the writing are runic, but it makes no sense. I've been at it for hours. It has beaten me.
Graben is very worried about you. She thinks you're upset.
Why upset?
Because you killed Count Sackmerson, and he has sent you a Christmas present.
Oh, poor sentimental women.
Could I perhaps be looking at the cryptogram, please?
No. You have not a mind for such a profound puzzle, Axel. Here you are, then. Sacknussum has indeed cursed me. He's probably been trying to solve that cryptogram all his life. And now so will I. Ruin myself. Exhaust my brilliant mind to the exclusion of all else. I never, never find a solution.
It's Latin.
Silly fat boy. I tried Latin. I think I don't know Latin.
I promise, Uncle. If you regard only the bottom half of each character, read the whole thing upside down, backwards, and miss out every other word, you'll see it's in Latin.
Show me.
Am I right or am I right?
Yeah.
Fair down. X, you are truly worthy of the name of Littlebrock.
I shall read the Latin. You translate.
Yeah, naturally.
In Schneffels, Joculis Craterum Quem Delibat.
Descend into the crater of Schneffels Jocul.
Umbra Scataris Julii Intra Calendas Descende.
Over which the shadow of Scataris falls before the Calends? Calends of July.
Audas Viator et Terrestre Centrum Akinges.
Bold, audacious traveller, and you will reach the centre of the earth.
Quod feci Arne Sacknussum?
I have done this, signed Arne Sacknussum.
I have done this, Arne Sacknussum.
Some sort of joke, surely.
We have nearly 6 months to raise the money. Fare to Iceland, of course. Rope, provisions, instrument, equipment. It's all beyond the pocket of a poor professor, but we shall do it. We must do it.
Do what?
The Lidenbrock expedition, my boy. I've been waiting for something like this all my life. It is my destiny and yours to follow.
You can't be serious.
We shall go to Iceland, climb into the crater of the mountain of Snæfellsjökull, and from there we shall journey to the center of the earth.
But what you suggest, it's against all the laws of science.
No, it's not.
Is true.
Nine is not.
Bloody is.
The fiery core theory is just that.
A theory.
Have all these bone-headed scientists who profess this theory been to see? Nine. We shall go and see for ourselves.
But it is recognized, is it not, that the temperature underground rises 1 degree for every 70 feet below surface. Therefore, admitting that the ratio is constant, and the Earth's radius being over 4,000 miles, the temperature at the center must be over 2 million degrees.
No.
Even the hardest rocks cannot withstand such a heat. Everything down there is incandescent gas, and you're proposing to go there? Puh!
Puh to you, baby donkey. You are afraid that the earth will melt your lovesick sighs? Listen, learn, I will explain. Real scientists, such as my friend Sir Humphrey Davy and myself, have conclusively proved that if a temperature of 2 million degrees existed within the globe, then the gases given off by the fiery matter would be more than enough to blow off the earth like a boiler under steam pressure.
I sat in my uncle's reading chair while he paced the room, a brilliant lecture, all for me alone. For a while I was listening, then I was just thinking of Grauben's pretty knees. I was so tired, dreaming while awake, that I could actually see those knees floating around the room, with my uncle wagging between them in an erudite frenzy. But for all his so very clever explanations, and though perhaps he was right in everything he said, I did not lose my common sense.
I am right. I am Lidenbrock.
I still believed that the interior of the earth was fiery hot. All night he droned on.
The terrestrial nucleus, therefore, is solid. Solid! But with cheesy tunnels.
Until, with the window pane turned pale blue, the bells of St. Petrikirke rattled the surface of our world.
Happy Christmas, Uncle.
Christmas? I don't know, keep Christian festivals.
Of course. Sorry.
My paper on the structure of large mineral masses first cleared the way towards a better understanding of this difficult subject.
My favorite kind of walk was to wander through Hamburg, stopping to buy pastries at all the pastry shops, then arriving late at the Johanneum to fall asleep in one of my uncle's lectures. The idea of walking to the center of the earth frightened the scheisser out of me. But when I told Grauben about it, she said...
But you must go. You'll become a famous scientist if you go. The whole world will applaud you. We will be rich. I will have dresses, a carriage, white horses. Oh, Axel, you must go.
I'm too fat.
If you go, when you return, I will let you do anything you like to me.
Anything?
Anything.
Uncle Lidenbrock will never raise the money. Already he's tried to borrow from everyone he hasn't fought a duel with recently. He's raised only 12 marks from the head waiter at the Café Hill in Hermannstrasse. There are many reasons why it's impossible to go to the center of the earth, but lack of money prevents everything. Knees?
Not today, Axel.
Some of the contorted strata are of a coarse mechanical structure alternating with fine-grained crystalline chloritic slates. Cleavage is generally constant over the whole of any area affected.
Uncle Lidenbrock!
That child catches. Here I am giving a lecture.
Silence!
Robin, go home this instant and lock yourself in your cupboard.
Uncle, I have met this English lady.
Good afternoon, Professor.
I'll not have women in my lectures. Out! Out!
She was giving a lecture of her own.
Out!
At my women's
out!
In perfect German. About her most exciting travels in Patagonia.
Out!
And I have told her about the journey.
Out!
The journey you are wishing to make to you know where.
You told her? But it is a secret. My enemies...
She is very interested in the expedition. She is a very rich English lady.
Stinking, I'm afraid.
Oh. Ah, madame. I am charmed to meet you. Shall we adjourn to the dinosaur room?
That will be all for today, gentlemen. Excel! Please, madam, be careful with my Diplodocus. It is very fragile. Oh, so is your husband also visiting Hamburg? I would be honored to meet him. Oh, he took you to Patagonia.
My husband died horribly in the charge of the Light Brigade. I travelled in Patagonia alone.
A woman alone? Oh, with no one to protect her from those gauchos? Nothing.
Professor Lidenbrock, I was once a sweet little woman who stayed home arranging flowers and embroidering trite slogans on cushions, but the Crimean War released me from such an existence. I became independently wealthy and embarked upon a life of travel and adventure. Among other things, I have traversed the Andes, climbed the Alps and Caucasus, searched for the source of the Zambezi, lived with Red Indians in New Mexico, and crossed Arabia on an insolent camel. Now, your ward has told me that you need finance for an expedition under the earth. I am fascinated.
We propose to journey to the center of the globe, madam.
Please, don't call me madam. My name is Rosemary McNabb.
Frau McNabb, destiny has sent you.
Make a list of all the things we need. The calends of July, I believe, are an essential part of the calculation. We have ample time, but I abhor dawdling.
But...
Eleonora leave for Reykjavik Monday next. Good day, gentlemen. I must purchase sturdy boots for myself. 6 pairs should do.
Excuse me, please, madam, but there is some misunderstanding here. You surely do not think you are coming with us. Oh, no, no. You are a woman.
Of course I'm coming. What would the McNabb expedition be without McNabb herself?
The McNabb expedition?
Calm yourself, Uncle, please.
She's only joking, Uncle.
If you were a man, I would.
Swords or pistols, Professor?
A woman. A woman caught in him, sprained ankles and unexplainable mood swings.
And you, young fellow, my lad, are too fat for adventure.
Under all that fat, he is deceptively strong.
I am deceptively strong.
He has hands like a raccoon.
A raccoon?
Madame... Frau McNabb, as you are having the monies for an expedition, and I am not, I therefore reluctantly agree that you should be coming with us.
Good-o.
But I am insisting that from this moment on you will act like a man in all possible examples of behavior. Also, one essential condition. Upon this I will not budge. It must be the Lidenbrock expedition.
Only fair, Rose. My uncle is the most brilliant scientist in his field.
Your Diplodocus is the largest I have ever seen, Professor. Ah, very well, old chap. The Lidenbrock expedition.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Oh, God help me. We're really going.
The boat journey to Iceland was most unpleasant. I almost died from the Maldamir. My uncle also. But Frau McNabb, she was okay. With her boiled eggs and bacon sandwiches. A strapping woman with a large bust. I should have liked her. But I did not like her. I did not desire her. I only desired my little Grauben safe and well in lovely Hamburg. Reykjavik also was not to my liking. Muddy and bleak, it stank of fish guts and was just 2 wooden streets and no cake shops. In the distance, growing out of the sea, was the extinct volcano of Sneffels, with its great peak called Skartaris. I had been in my room, on a plank bed, I ask you, for 2 days, and had ventured outside for the first time in a vain search for cake shops when my uncle and Frau McNabb found me palely loitering and introduced me to our gigantic Icelandic guide.
Hence, this baby donkey is my nephew Axel. Axel Hansbjerg.
One day, Timair, Timetra.
Thank back with knobs.
Hans speaks no German, but your uncle and I both speak Icelandic with reasonable fluency. I learned on the boat, don't you know, while you were leaning over your bucket. So if you wish to ask anything of Hans, we will translate. Beautiful specimen, isn't he?
Hmm? Hans answers to me. I am the leader. I translate.
Midnight's a flat. Daka is secure.
What was that, Hans?
Hans was just saying that
I do not need a woman to tell me what Hans is saying.
Ask him if these seagulls make this racket all the time. They're giving me a headache. Oh, and cake shops.
Khaki,
Nay, hang him, Kaka.
But soon my headache cleared. The seagulls were gone, and we were mounted on mules with our equipment, picking our way around the ragged, rugged coast towards Mount Sneffels. It was the calends of July.
Excellent. There have you been, boy. You can't lag behind when we're underground or you'll get lost.
I was just studying the hardy flora and the mineralogical curiosities, most especially the volcanic tufa and other eruptive phenomena.
So, you still think the Earth's core is nothing but lava, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and 2 million times, yeah.
I didn't believe your nephew is losing weight, Professor.
You will desist at all times, madam, from making personal remarks. Damn these clouds. If you do not disperse, Skataris will not be able to show us the entrance. We'll have to come back next year.
Oh, God.
Frau McNab spent this cloudy time performing calisthenics. Her swinging limbs gave me lewd thoughts, while I scratched the surface of the earth with my boot heels, waiting for the sun to escape the clouds. And then the sun was in my eyes, and I could see nothing but light. The sun slipped behind the sharp peak of Skartaris, and in a moment the crater was all yellow highlights and indigo shadows. One long shadow, like a finger, grew and grew, pointing and pointing, then stopped.
It's there! The entrance! Skartaris points away!
Baramut! Baramut!
Yes, quickly before the finger moves!
El! El!
I say, bitch, it's the way. Look here. Look. Look, Frau McNab. These marks on a stone. Runic letters. Arne Sagnusson. He has signed his name here. 400 years ago, he came this way. Axel!
Yes, uncle. Oh! We're not going down there, are we?
Of course we are.
Gosh.
Our longest rope was 400 feet. The chasm was, it turned out, 14 times this. So we looped the rope over a rock and went down 200 feet at a time. It was most unpleasant. They made me go first, because they were cruel.
Oh, then please stop kicking your grit onto me.
I do not believe I had ever heard my uncle more cheerful. But I was not cheerful. 200 feet at a time, each rope's length taking half an hour from ledge to ledge. That made 7 hours, plus 14 quarter hours for rest on the ledges. We started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 11 before we reached the bottom. I ate a packet of biscuits and fell into a deep sleep. I awoke hours later, not knowing where I was. Something was writhing in the darkness at the bottom of the 3,000-feet tube we had descended. Far above, a bright point of light, a star twinkling in heaven. What was writhing?
Axel, you fatty speck noodle. Ah, have you ever spent a more peaceful night in our little house in Hamburg? Eh? No carts rumbling past, no hawkers screaming about their wares?
I had a most disturbing nightmare.
Bacon sandwich, Herr Lindenbrock. Our last cooked meal.
Yeah, well, thank you. I will. Of course, we'll be cooked like this bacon soon when the lava gets us.
Axel, I will allow no more such talk. This volcano has not erupted since 1229. And the earth's core is cool. Cool!
The lava must have forced its way along these tunnels. See how shiny the rock is? Which tunnel do we take, Professor? They're all so enticing.
Look for Zachnusson's mark, madam. I will come with my lamp. Mm. Now eat your breakfast quickly, Axie, dumbcob.
What have I done to be called a dumbcob?
Our expedition was equipped with 2 Ruhmkorff electric lamps. Naked flames, of course, could be fatal underground with so many explosive gases seeping about. The Ruhmkorff's lamp's dull filament caused a sunshine of brightness as its light bounced off the shiny walls of the tunnels.
I have found it! Zachnusson's mark! Head! Head Axel off with his pack! Come on, will you? Now our real journey begins!
Yoni!
Well, I'll never carry this. 3 steps, never mind in the center of the earth.
It's as big as yours, and I'm half your size. Not nearly so thick.
The giant was scratching his groin. I remembered my nightmare, the thing that writhed.
What's so funny? Hey, you! Jolly giant! You can't leave me here!
It was 8:17 a.m. on Monday, the 29th of June, 1864. The barometer said sea level. The temperature was 6 degrees centigrade. I hurried after the others, catching the end of their light down a smooth gallery. We were heading east-southeast into the bowels of the earth.
What is this infernal gush?
Oh, Professor, it's so gorgeous down here. The deserts of Arabia do not compare. Nothing compares. These round blisters of glass on the walls.
Quartz. Opaque quartz.
Like the tears of half-forgotten sorrows gone hard and buried underground.
Women talk.
I'm sorry if this does not appeal to the aesthetic of the Teutonic male.
Well, this Teutonic male thinks it's magnificent, Frau McNab. I can see your reflection a million times.
Thank you, Axel. I hope you find it pleasing.
Yes, madam, it is beautiful, magnificent. It is the greatest sight I have ever beheld. This moment, right now, is the finest of my life. But my very next step takes me to a finer moment.
Oh, Professor, I'm sorry. I've been misjudging you. You are as romantic as Schiller, as Goethe.
Ha!
My uncle was so excited that he forgot to stop. No rest for 10 hours. Hunger and fatigue had made me incapable of reasoning. Dreams flitted from my eyes and ran ahead up a corridor into the dark, where the diamond-studded walls were waiting to gleam in our approaching lights.
I can't go on. I want rest. I want cakes. Sandwiches.
Oh, poor thing. He's worn out.
So, let us rest here.
Hunger.
Axel, do not drink so much water. We have only enough for 5 days.
Oh, God, we'll die of thirst.
Nein. We shall find an underground stream somewhere and replenish our supply. A trickle, a leak somewhere.
We won't.
Axel, write this down into your notebook. Temperature, 15 degrees. Huh? A rise of only 9 degrees since we set off. Depth, 10,000 feet below sea level.
That's impossible.
It is so. Read your instruments for yourself, boy. All right, or am I right?
My eyes are all fuzzy, but yes, it does seem. But it should be, should be 81 degrees at this depth.
According to your theory, baby donkey. Oh, and Axel.
Yes, Uncle?
No matter how tired you become, do not show weakness in front of that woman. You do not wish me to be ashamed of you, do you?
No, Uncle. I will try my best. Do we have any cakes left?
June the 30th. After 2 days in the lava gallery, a gentle sloping walk, down and slowly down, we stepped out into a gigantic cavern full of looping arches of stone. Like the religious architecture of 100 bizarre cathedrals scrunched together, their floors strewn with cherts of quartz and dull emeralds. We searched for a way out all day, then found Saknussemm's mark in a side chapel, and beside it a tunnel like a beaver's hole. We crawled.
We all get housemaid's knee.
Take a world of its own, isn't it?
Hello, my
dear. You're spanking me.
Urinating while on all fours is most unpleasant. but at last we crawled out of that miserable little tunnel and stood straight again. My poor bleeding knees. The new tunnel was of old red sandstone, streaked with marble, reaching upwards as if each streak hoped to reach surface and be made into a Greek warrior. It offered us a choice. Left fork or right fork? Saknussemm's mark was nowhere to be seen.
To the left! Feet march!
Yes.
Why not to the right, Uncle? Uncle?
Yes, Professor, why not? To the right!
Left! You go to the left!
My uncle could not be seen to hesitate in front of Frau McNab, but it was just a guess, I knew, and our water was running dangerously low. Walking in the Tyrol, often I had come across fountains in the village squares. Wasser ist Leben was carved in the wood above the fountains. Water is life. For a while, we were distracted from our thirst.
Look! Action! Trilobites! Everywhere! Trilobites! Aye, madam! And the world's foremost authority on trilobites.
I'd be more impressed, Professor, if I knew what a trilobite is, or rather was.
An ancient creature who inhabited the Devonian seas in vast numbers. Once, madam, they had the world almost to themselves. Oh, amazing. New trilobite species. Wherever I look. The babe in his cradle is closing his eyes. The blossom embraces the bee. But soon his ambition arise, arise.
We had taken the wrong fork. Now the path was up. The long marble walls, exhibiting their display of dry dead fossils of saurians and ganoid fishes, gave way to a buried alive blackness, which smelled like an old yard. Coal. It crunched under our steps. Dry coal. Our water almost gone. On the evening of our fifth day, we rested and stared at the coal walls, full of the imprints of ferns. Frau McNab walked ahead to do her toilet. After a few moments, Hans walked into blackness and followed her.
I'm thirsty. Really thirsty now.
I know, my boy. Hold on. We shall find water soon.
Uncle?
Yeah?
You've never married.
Yeah. Yeah, Exit, neither have you.
Yes, but soon Grauwald and I. And yet you're so much older.
I have never been in love, Exit. Not once. Not ever. I wanted a woman who would be my equal. There is no such thing.
But Frau McNab, she...
She is an English woman.
Of course. Entschuldigung. What does that sound like to you, Uncle?
Constipation. She is constipated.
I think they're copulating.
Filthy-minded little spinal...
We were far deeper into the earth than man had ever reached before. I slept with coal all around me, coal never to be shattered by a miner's pick, tasting coal dust on my dry tongue. Tossing in a deep dream where Grauben and my friend Heinrich wandered naked along the quays of our native Hamburg.
Oh, Grauben, how clever you were to forge that runic document and send those fools to that death in the earth's bow.
Now we can be together forever, darling Heinrich, wandering naked along the quays of Hamburg.
Yeah.
No, no, Grauben, you're mine, mine! I shall return!
When I awoke, the others were standing over me, looking grim.
Professor! Siklamitlisch Bauri.
Hans has looked ahead, Axel. This tunnel is a dead end. We must go back the way we came.
But it's days and days, and we've hardly a drop of water left. We'll die!
Courage, lad. Remember, you are a hamburger.
We walked back, past the same trilobites we had greeted with such excitement days before. But now we were dying. Hans showed no emotion. My uncle swore through his thirst. Frau McNab was brave. But when she turned to check on me, the straggler, I saw the terror in her eyes. She expected to die.
Chin up, lad. Whatever happens to us. See how beautiful it is here. What an inspiration for the poetic soul. In its pain and struggles. Even more than in its tranquility.
Him in a blither.
I can only think of the beauty of my gravel. My pretty gravel. Splashing in her bath water.
Courage. Excellent boy. Peter. We must go on or die right here. There's nothing else we can do.
We passed the place where we had chosen the wrong fork and pressed on with all our remaining strength the other way. A breeze breathed through the tunnel. We smelled it for water. Another 10 hours of walking, and my legs failed me. I sat down. I had decided to die.
Poor little cherub. I said, didn't I? He was not up to this.
He is! My dear boy, please hold on a little further. Come!
It's no use to deceive him. He's had enough. Let him die.
I'm sorry, my boy, for everything. It's all over.
It was the only affection my uncle had ever shown me in all our life together. From the first day I arrived in his house as a little pudgy boy, the first signs of love for me. Then and now, I am profoundly moved by this. As darkness crowded in on my eyes, I watched him stroking my hair. I saw Frau McNab with her hands on his shoulders, her swollen lips and a sad smile. Then the lights went out, and I thought I had died. Only a sound remained. A mocking sound in my ears like newfangled plumbing.
What?
It's water! It's water!
Bob! Go and see. I'll stay with Axel.
They took the Ruhmkorff lamps. That's why I was left in the dark. It was an hour before they returned. My uncle stroked my hair while I slept. There was chatter I could not hear. Then I was being carried. Perhaps I was in my coffin on my way to a Hamburg churchyard, and Grauben weeping somewhere behind.
It's in the wall. Excellent. An underground stream trapped in a tunnel parallel to this one. Hands. The pickaxe man.
But the force of the water, if it's releasing, it just carries us away to hell.
Excellent, wake up. There's water.
I say it's slapping.
Now there was an abundance of water. We filled our flasks, but we did not need to. The hole in the wall caused a stream to flow down our tunnel. We christened the stream the Hansbach, in honor of our big friend. It followed us on our way, itself seeking out the Earth's center. Down and down and down. Our past sufferings were quickly forgotten. Then I remembered that in all the excitement, Frau McNab had kissed me. I skipped along, enflamed.
Don't know if I told you this, but when I was a girl, I once went for a walk around Lake Windermere with Wordsworth, a nature poet. In many ways, Professor, you remind me of him.
I am a scientist. Poets are all idiots. The future belongs to science.
Of course, he was very old at the time, but I still expected poetic comments about the sky and hedges and whatnot as we ambled along. Not a sausage. All he did was pick his nose and hammer the indigestion out of his chest. Not a gem passed his lips.
Madam, if you are hinting that you expect me to give you a running commentary of the geological highlights of our journey, you will be disappointed.
Your head professor, be careful.
On the afternoon of Friday, July the 10th, I noted down my uncle's calculations. We were 75 miles southwest of Reykjavik and 7 miles underground. A frightening shaft had opened at our feet. So steep. Most unpleasant. But my uncle was delighted. He held Frau McNab's hands and danced.
Professor, what has come over you?
A thousand excuses, madam. But now we shall make real progress. And with no great effort. See how the projections in the rock form a kind of staircase, huh?
All is shown in order. Off we go.
Oh, yes. Come on, let's go.
When Graben and I were children, Uncle Lidenbrock took us to the top of the spire of the St. Petri Kirche in Hamburg. I was most wicked in those days. I stole a bun from my darling girl and ran away with it, down and down the steps and the spire, around and around. I could not stop. There seemed more and more steps, turning, twisting. Without breath, I tripped and ran, stepping on the thick part, then the thin part of the steps. Suddenly frightened that the devil would be at the bottom with his mouth wide open to eat me. And so, on that other day, down and down we went. The Hansbach following, showering upon us, wetting our way. My calves were numb and sore, my clothes loose because I was losing so much weight. For 4 days we walked down the staircase. Saturday, 18th of July, we arrived downstairs at a huge grotto. I searched my pockets for the stale crumbs of cakes. 213 miles southeast of Sneffels. Depth, 48 miles.
Uncle!
Yeah?
48 miles is it not? 1/100th of the Earth's radius, no? In 28 days! Therefore, I calculate that if we keep on at this rate, it'll take us 2,000 days or 5.5 years to reach the center.
Swinehund, to buggering blazes with you and your calculations. You forget. Another man has done this. Saknussemm. Now, I, Lidenbrock, shall reach the center of the Earth.
And 5.5 years back again. If the heat at the Earth's core doesn't kill us first.
My uncle beat me repeatedly about the head with his manometer. Then, in order not to further damage this valuable instrument, he pulled trilobites from his pockets and bowled them at me. A most unpleasant experience. But suddenly he stopped, looked at my face in what I can only describe as awe, a look I had otherwise only seen upon his face in art galleries. And he stomped away, deeply moved.
Axel! My boy! Yes.
Are you all right?
Have I hurt my uncle grievously, but what have I done except to point out scientific truths to a scientist?
It's not science that hurts him. It's your face, Axel.
My face?
The journey has used up your puppy fat. Your pudgy cheeks have all but gone. You've only one chin left. It's quite amazing, really. The two of you look so alike. When I met you in Hamburg, not a bit alike, but now, same face. Your uncle, it must be like staring at his younger self.
I never knew we were at all alike. I never knew.
The Hansbach led us past another one of Arne Saknussemm's signatures into a steeply sloping corridor. We were all quite fit now, making a good pace. By August the 7th, we were 75 miles down and 500 miles from Iceland, with Scottish towns far above our heads. I wished to defecate, so allowed the others to get ahead of me. Then I hurried after,
holding my Ruhmkorff lamp in front of me, granite walls flying past.
Well, they can't have got so far ahead. Uncle? Uncle? He's playing games with me. He's punishing me for defying his opinions. But am I not also Lidenbrook? Am I not allowed to think for myself? Uncle!
The Hansbach was not at my feet. I had taken a wrong turn somehow. I was lost and alone. I did not like this.
Well, it's good. No need for panickings. All I have to do is walk back the way I came until I find either the Hansbach or the place where I committed my defecations. So, alles klar. I am safe and cozy and okay. Uncle! Uncle! Help! Oh!
In my panic, I had tripped and fallen down a hole. As I climbed out of it, I saw that my Ruhmkorff lamp was damaged. It flickered and went out. No man has ever known such darkness. I was alone, miles underground, blind in the pit of the abyss.
Wake up, Axel. Wake up. Glauben is next door. You are asleep in Hamburg. Oh, God. What was that? Who is it? The ghost of Arne Saknussemm. That's what? Oh, bitter. I didn't kill your descendant. My uncle did, not me. Not me!
I lost my reason and ran from the devils inside of me and the spirits and the stones. I dashed and fell and bruised myself and ran with blood running down my face and... I had smashed myself into a solid wall. Extremely unpleasant, I promise you. Now I awoke in a darkness that would make any child mad all its life long. I could hear voices.
Who is it? Hello?
Who is it? Dumbcock! Who else is 75 miles underground? Oh. Where are you, my boy?
I'm lost in the dark.
Where is your lamp?
It's gone out and broken. Where are you?
Courage, lad. I am somewhere else, away from you. Sound is being conducted along the walls of the labyrinth. Peter, go. La la la. So that I might calculate the exact distance between you and us with my chronometer.
Yeah, boy, Uncle. La la la! La la la! La la la!
20 seconds, Axel. I'm afraid the sound traveling at 1,020 feet per second, that makes 20,400 feet. 4 miles.
4 miles? I'm gonna die! Die here! Alone in the dark with cackling ghosts!
Oh! Excellent. Listen, boy. Courage. One day, when I am dead and gone, you shall be Professor Lidenbrock.
Yes, Uncle. I'm listening.
We are in a huge cavern. Hundreds of tunnels leading down into it. There is every reason to suppose that your tunnel will lead down here also. Dragons. Raw. Stagger, however you can, down. I love you. Glauben loves you. Frau McNabb loves you. Hans loves you. On your way, my boy. On your way.
I dragged myself along. Soon the slope was very steep, and I went feet first, sliding down. The strange acoustic effect which allowed my uncle to talk to me no longer worked. But for moments, I heard snatches of chatter.
Oh, it's so long since I was strong, like a woman in my arms.
Supposedly I've awaited this obscure place will be ours forever.
Darling, I never dare dream of such happiness.
He's just an animal, big, handsome animal. Just since I stayed in that country village, I look at the man every day, or I don't feel like myself. You understand?
Oh, I understand. Oh.
A bit like Wordsworth, really, you're not.
Oh, my exterior is gruff and cold, but inside, Rose, I am warm. I have food. Besides, I love the earth, I love trilobites, and you, Rose, and you. Yeah, it's so from the first moment in the lecture hall, the sunlight and full of floating motes of chalk, then you.
Down and down I scrambled, my hands snatching at loose rocks, stroking the walls for a hold. I was slip-sliding away, unable to stop myself. The worst of nightmares, like an evil thought dropping deeper into a black brain. A fall!
Professor Lidenbrock! Axel, he's coming round!
Axel, lad!
Careful, dear, your head is bandaged.
Where am I?
You came through caverns measureless to man, shooting down upon us with a shower of stones. Nothing broken, though. You're in a pretty little grotto, quite safe again.
Oh, I can hear... No.
Don't move. Stay there. You've some nasty bumps.
But I can hear... Yes. I must see it.
Come, Axel. Come outside and see.
Impossible. C'est une impossibilité. Incroyable.
May I introduce you, dear boy, to the Lidenbrock Sea. I, Lidenbrock, have discovered it. Who will dispute that I should name it after myself?
Not I, Uncle, not I.
Level water stretched away out of sight. An underground sea. Or an ocean. And here we, jolly explorers like two Columbuses, standing on a beach strewn with strange shells, holding one to my throbbing ear, I heard the cries of monsters. Above us, a vault, or sky, composed of huge clouds, floating away from us like sailing ships. And everywhere a brightness, caused by an electrical phenomenon. It was a light that shone from no distant source, but broke out from the air itself, a continuous cosmic event. A sunless sea, indeed, but covered with the clean brightness of a saint's halo. My astonishment revived my battered flesh.
No more tunnels. Air! Light! Mushrooms!
Yeah, mushrooms! Cloud sea! Now, baby donkey, aren't you glad you came?
Beside the shore was a vast forest of giant mushrooms, as tall as pine trees.
Magnificent, no?
Splendiferous. Never has a botanist beheld such a feast for the eyes.
And for the belly. Taste! I recognize the species. Quincy.
They're the best mushrooms I've ever tasted. The flavor fills my very soul. Uncle Otto, do you hear?
Yeah. There's something in the forest snuffling among the mushrooms.
It's not a French chef, is it?
I don't think so.
I'm coming. But let's go.
Night. I be my feet and see what it is.
Hans had found a large petrified mushroom lying on the shore, its head 15 feet in diameter.
It floated most satisfactorily. By turning it upside down, its stalk became a mast. Its head became a coracle. Meanwhile, a huge pig-like creature, a glyptodon, twice the size of the biggest elephant, was charging across the shore towards us. We put to sea in a mushroom, leaving the creature pawing the earth and threatening us with its many horns. With a blanket for a sail, the fair breeze caught us and took us across the Lidenbrock Sea, with the creature watching us until we were a speck to it, and it to us. In all this time, every one of us was too astonished to speak a word.
My pony lies over the ocean. My pony lies over the sea. My pony lies over the
ocean. Please take down my calculation. August 30.
Ring.
Horizontally. We are 875 miles from our starting point in Iceland. Our depth, 88 miles.
This is most unpleasant for me, but I must apologize. Obviously, I was wrong to believe in the concept of a molten core.
Well, science is full of mistakes. Look, what do you make of the compass?
It's pointing straight up.
Mm-hmm.
But, this must mean that the magnetic pole is somewhere above us. Up there.
Ah, well said.
My best student.
Sky, Professor!
Looks like some kind of sturgeon.
Nine, but it certainly belongs to the family that became. This fish has been extinct in the upper ocean since Jurassic times. Observe, it has no eyes.
Oh, we couldn't eat it, could we?
No, look, yum, yum.
There was a steady northwest wind. Our unusual craft sailed fast and straight. Coast, 75 miles to leeward. Nothing on horizon. Weather, fine. Hans was an excellent fisherman and cook. We sampled all manner of impossible fish which no man had eaten before. For the first time in our journey, I was content. Comfortable. But one thought crept in to disturb me. Uncle?
Yeah, baby donkey.
Well, we've seen a pig the size of Hamburg Town Hall.
It was a glyptodon, not a pig.
Yeah. So, we are also consuming long-extinct fishes.
We could not be consuming them if they were extinct. Hans, have you another of those little blue ones?
Ah, yeah.
Thank you.
Now, what I'm saying is, well, if we've seen these creatures, perhaps all the bones in our dinosaur room back at the Johanneum are down here. I mean, walking around inside their flesh and skin. Alive.
Yeah. Old giant, old fairies, old Goethe still writing his poetry. Rose, you hear the boy?
Oh, the water looks so inviting. So perfect in its remote, languid beauty. A beauty that has brought no tear to human eye. O ye, who hast thy eyeballs vexed and tired, feast them upon the wide.
You set her going again. Poetry.
We had eaten a great many fishes, and Hans, having gutted them for us, had thrown the guts overboard. This, unfortunately, acted as a bait for other creatures who ascended from the depths of the Lidenbrock Sea. We awoke from a snooze during the endless warm light to see a huge black shape approaching us.
A ship without sails! A ship! Yoo-hoo!
What is it? Ivan Driven! Scrunch of Harmony!
It's like nothing I've ever heard of, like a huge basking shark!
That was close!
Oh, John, this mushroom is so seaworthy! Oh no, it's coming back!
The creature was heading straight for us, its great mouth open, sucking in the sea. Hans stood with his pickaxe ready in his hand. My uncle fetched the pistols from his pack and we steadied ourselves on the mast. My uncle wore the sour grin he had for stepping out in a duel, but he had never had such an opponent.
Not yet, Axel, fit till it is closer!
It's really good.
But before it reached us, a dozen huge, smiling heads. like the heads of bald, scaly dogs, popped out of the sea between our mushroom boat and the creature.
They're going to attack that basking shark creature. Hence,
we'll paddle away or we'll be swamped.
We are like a toy boat caught in the middle of the Battle of Trafalgar.
We all four paddled with our hands. Most unpleasant, because I was sure some other monster was going to bite off the fingers with which I had caressed Grauben's ivory knees. All the time, the breeze was blowing us back towards the battle, where the long necks of the plesiosauruses flicked down their snapping heads onto the basking shark creature. It rolled and rolled in the water, strangling its enemy with long tentacles attached to its flippers. A saving breeze collected us and took us away. I was shivering with fright. Frau McNair pressed my head against her chest.
Oh, the rain.
I kept pulling it away to watch the end of the battle. More basking shark creatures were sailing up. Would they be in time to save their kinsmen? The air was warm and smelled of a butcher's shop. For miles around, the seawater was pink with the blood of the combatants. Thursday, 20th of August. Wind nor-east, variable. Temperature high. Speed about 9 knots. All my troubles had returned to me and my mind was coming off its hinges. I felt sure that in the unlikely event I ever returned to the surface of our world, I would end my days in that ivy-covered madhouse on the Lübeck Road. There I would be, beckoning passers-by to the railings to tell them of my journey to the center of the earth. But my uncle and Frau McNab, our dearest Rose, they sat in the mushroom playing footsie in bare feet. If they loved each other, I said to myself, I will be safe. Always and always.
Klippe, where's Lasted? You're asking me, yes?
God, what is it now? I can't stand anything else. I want to go home.
Oh, I had expected to see to end in another shore.
Doesn't it?
I do not think so, no.
When Hans shook us all by the hands, as if saying goodbye, I knew this was it. I fell to my knees and prayed.
Oh, Father, I apologize for all my new thoughts and actions about women and cakes, and the things I've done to myself privately. Today my soul shall flee through rock and be at your side in heaven.
Stop praying! Hold this plea! There's no God! No God!
Oh, God, please forgive me.
Stop this religion that I am a pagan! Nature does this in my
God!
The Lidenbrock Sea ended in a waterfall, a huge slide of water spinning and splashing towards the center of the earth. I knew this was the end of us. As I watched my uncle and Rose gripped together in their final embrace, so passionate and so full of Lebensfunke, I dug my nails into the mushroom and remembered my uncle's vision of the future of mankind, a future of which I would not see one more day.
It is above us.
The sea curved from the pools at our feet until it sparkled far above our heads. It was like being wrapped in a wave of the blue Aegean, a wave which never reached for shore. Flitting shadows crossed this sea that was also the sky, sea monsters swimming upside down. We had fallen into a land of turquoise grottos and golden sand, cliffs full of caves all around us, and at the foot of the caves, huge bones among palm trees.
Look what I've found.
A human skull?
Yes. There are some more over here. Big ones.
Uncle, I hate to bring this up at this most exciting scientific moment, but how are we going to return home?
Ach, we will find a way. Excellent. Look. Look at the size of this skeleton. A human skeleton. See, why, when this personage was alive, he must have stood 12 feet tall.
I admit that's big. Well, I wonder what Graben is doing right this minute.
Can you imagine what they will say in Germany when I write this? They will never believe. They will burn me at the stake.
Otto, if you'll excuse an amateur's observation, all these skulls, they've had their heads caved in. I saw something similar in the Burmese jungle.
Yeah, you're right. A ritual killing, perhaps? See how they have all the same hole in the temple. Mm. Fascinating. What is
it? I want to go home.
Professor! Professor! Oh, ask any Elton, namlich in den Kummer. Stor, Peter, Sandor. Come!
What is it, Rose? What's he found?
Human footprints. Gigantic human footprints.
No, I refuse to believe it. This has all gone too far.
If they have dinosaurs and other ancient creatures down here, why not people? Don't be such a scaredy cat, Axel. Perhaps they'll be friendly.
They'll eat us, you know that, don't you?
Rose and myself had a most pleasant walk along the beach, hopping through the rock pools. We held hands and I had tears in my eyes. I was remembering my Mutter. Often she had taken me for walks by the sea at Cuxhaven, even when she was very ill. I put my arms around Frau McNab, Rose, and held her tightly.
Axel, let go. Look! The ashram boat is gone! And the professor and Hans!
We could see a long way up the beach, but nothing and no one was there. No footprints either. But palm leaves were lying here and there. Perhaps the footprints had been rubbed away with one of those.
Professor!
Uncle Otto!
Otto!
Hans! Hans!
Otto!
Uncle Otto!
Hans!
And then he came, running fast across the sand from the cliffs. A huge man, 12 feet tall, a prophet's black beard, naked and hairy. I climbed a palm tree, up it like a monkey I was, as far as the coconuts. Too scared to find any problems in such an exercise. Along came the giant, holding Rosemary limply in one hand, sniffing at her as he looked about for me. I hadn't sneezed since I arrived in Reykjavik. Why, just then, and the worst possible moment. Now he was under the palm tree, smiling up at me with his broken teeth.
Go away, leave me alone. I'm a geology student. My mind was all confusion. I felt like a suicide being talked down from a ledge. How kind his face was. How gently he held Rosemary, stroking her abdomen with his little finger. But suddenly, as I knew he would, he lost his patience and started shaking me out of the tree. I was in Hamburg, in a cake shop, and had eaten all but one cake. I was just about to bite into it, when I awoke with a thumping headache into a reality far less real than my dream. I was flying,
weightlessly, in a cave. Frau McNab was nearby, reaching out to me. She caught my hand, then we rolled together, our legs entwined, most sexily. We flew together, like angels.
Axel! Axel!
Axel!
Rosen! Over here!
Axel!
And there was my uncle, weightless, hands holding him by the legs, waving at us in a floating mushroom. Our mushroom boat. A vast grotto, sand fizzing at its many entrances, and floating in there with us, tamely looking our way, were brontosauruses, iguanodons, brachiosaurs, a pachyrhinoceros, triceratops, and 100 smaller feathered lizards who clucked like chickens.
Kick with your feet! Come on, flap your arms, or come on, Axel!
I'm flapping! Look, Uncle, I'm flying!
Slow down, don't jump on it, it'll catch you! Hold on to the mushroom tight! Dig in your fingertips!
What is this place?
Excellent, my boy. We have arrived. This cavern is the center of the earth. I was a fool not to realize before. Obviously, the center of the planet will be weightless. The effect of gravity pulling in all directions causes weightlessness. We've done it. We've arrived at the little hollow seed at the center of the aniseed ball. Unfortunately, our giant friends use this as a kind of larder.
Fresh dinosaur steaks, eh?
Jawohl. And they have put us here for the same reason, I suspect.
Sit there, Professor!
Hands, I see them. Our giant friends has brought along his tribe to see us. See?
The giants released lassoes into the weightless grotto. They floated towards us. Their lunch.
In New Guinea, back in 59, I saw an Anglican bishop eaten alive. It's not a death I care to suffer, Otto. Do we still have the pistols?
Yeah, in my pack, strapped to the mushroom stalk there. Mein Gott, has there ever been such a brave woman? Rose, I love you. You are my equal in every way.
I love you too, Otto. Now, let's get on with it. A death both poetic and practical.
Entschuldigung, bitte, are you seriously saying that after all these fiendish torments we've been through, we're going to shoot ourselves?
This is the greatest triumph we'll ever know, Axel. We have reached our objective, the center of the earth. After this, what will the rest of our lives be too dull to endure? Alles in ordnung. Who wants to go first?
My uncle was mad. He was going to kill me. I screamed to the giants to help me.
Help!
Stop
playing about, Axel!
Help!
Let me get a clear shot in!
Help!
I grabbed my uncle's pack and held it before myself as a shield. At the same time, I floated away, past the eyes of dinosaurs resigned to their fate.
Auf Wiedersehen, Axel! Dearest boy! I am going to shoot you now!
No!
I collided with one of those giant chicken dinosaurs at just the right moment. Its vicious peck knocked me out of the line of fire. My uncle's bullet hit his pack and ignited the box of explosives he carried all the way to the Earth's core. The explosion cracked the floating chamber. The air was sucked away, light was shattered like a mirror, and a terrifying rumble was the latest fright to assail us. The sides of the chamber collapsed and lava broke through. It was so hot. We couldn't breathe. I floated with my hands gripping my face. When I looked through my fingers, I saw the others in the mushroom and my uncle's hand raised towards me in a gesture of a man releasing a dove. On a cushion of air, we were forced upwards. The lava insane below us, pushing upwards, searching violently, desperately for the surface. Faster and faster and faster upward. I rolled and rolled, my hair on fire. Upward and upward, the mushroom boat following me through the bloodstream of our Mother Earth. Oh.
I wept while I put the star on top of the tree.
Lindenberg, are you there? I curse you. The stones and snow of my homeland, Iceland, curse you.
Excellent!
We shall go to Iceland and climb into the crater of the mountain of Snæfellsjökull, and from there we shall journey to the center of the earth.
Uncle Lindenbrock! Oh, Uncle Lindenbrock! Axel!
I have traversed the Andes, climbed the Alps and Caucasus, searched for the source of the Zambezi.
Oh, come on, you fat fool!
One small step for man. Tomorrow belongs to me.
Like the devil's lost balloon. Higher and higher we rose through the earth, shooting through its bowels. My lungs burned. Oh, uncle, uncle, Rose, brave hands!
Lazy burro, there is lava flowing all over the hillside. You want to be buried alive, huh?
Oh, my head. My aching head.
Hey, who are you?
I am Axel Lindenbrock of Hamburg. I came out of the volcano. Where the hell am I?
Hands up. Give me all your money or I will kill you.
You want money?
What is so funny?
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Crazy gringo.
What did we do with the rest of our lives? I don't know. My uncle, Rosemary McNabb, and Hans Bilke, our Icelandic guide, were thrown onto the surface of the earth through the volcano of Stromboli off the coast of Sicily. I, somehow, was spat out of a volcano far away in Mexico, the Sierra Madre Mountains. I didn't like it at all. I was lost for some time, the prisoner of bandits. Oh, I hated the food. It was a year before I returned to Hamburg, sailing up the waters of the Elbe, my face streaming with tears. Home. Home. Thinking me dead, my beloved Grauben had married my friend Heinrich. The shock of seeing me caused her waters to break, and the twins were born prematurely. They have grown into sickly fellows. Frau McNabb and my uncle had what the English call an understanding, but they never married. She continued her adventures and died of fever in Jerusalem in 1869.
Stop me if I've told you this before, but it was the most beautiful experience of my life. A journey to the center of...
Hans settled in the fatherland. He opened a bar down by the docks and makes a point of always being more drunk than his customers. My uncle was not believed when he spoke of his journey to the center of the earth. The scientific community laughed at him.
What? Teffel?
He can't expect us to believe that.
The poor man is quite insane.
The interior of the earth is molten. Molten!
Herr Lindenbrock, my name is Jules Verne. I am interested in your story. You know the one.
In the end, he sold his story to a French writer. And though the book was a great success, no one seemed to know it was based on truth. My uncle suffered a number of apoplexies brought on by his bad tempers. Last year, 1874, at the age of 60 and still a vigorous man, he locked himself in the dinosaur room at the Johanneum and shot himself. Count Saknussemm's curse was fulfilled. These days, I am Professor Lidenbrock, a roly-poly bachelor, haunting cake shops. Alles klar.
In Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth, recreated for radio by Steve Walker, Axel Lidenbrock was Nathaniel Parker, and Professor Lidenbrock was Nicholas Lefebvre. Rosemary McNabb was Kristen Millwood and Hans Oliver Senton. Graubun was Deborah Berlin, Count Saknussemm, Peter Yap, the Headmaster, Michael Tudor Barnes, von Klimstein, Joshua Taub, Martha, Eva Stewart, and Heinrich, Steve Walker. Technical presentation was by Roger Daines, Ian Harker, and Rebecca Kirby. Journey to the Centre of the Earth was directed by Owen O'Callaghan.
And if you enjoyed that, don't forget BBC.